It feels fitting that we're spending some time in one of the Gospels this morning after those songs that declare what God is like, because these Gospels give us a revelation of God through the person of Jesus. It's wonderful to be with you this morning. My name is Megan, for those of you that don't know me, and I have the wonderful privilege of being a part of the preaching team here at Alice Springs Baptist Church. And this morning we are going to continue on in the series that we're going to be covering throughout this year on the Gospel of Mark. If you've missed this series so far, I'd encourage you to go back and have a listen. Last week, Gav did a quick recap of what we've covered so far, and he spoke about demand and distance when it came to sort of the example of Jesus we see in the Gospel. And this morning, we're going to be talking about disruption. I wonder if you can bring to mind some moments of disruption. If you're like me, you probably face moments of disruption all the time, little ones and big ones. And I was saying, Gav, I need a really good example of significant disruption. And this one came to mind. Do you mind just clicking on to the next slide for me there, Ruben? I'll get Gav to fix this for me. So about a year after Gav and I got married, for our first anniversary, we thought we will go on a holiday to New Zealand. We were both students at the time, so we didn't have a lot of extra income, and we saved really hard for this holiday. And if you know me, you know I like to plan. So I planned really hard and I budgeted and I decided we could do a few really fun things. So we were going to take this scenic railway trip from Christchurch to Grandma. Has anyone done it, the Transalpine Railway? A couple. I have been on it once when I was in high school and it's beautiful. So I was like, I'm going to take Gavin and show him this beautiful railway trip. And then on the other side, you're near a place called Franz Josef. And I was like, we're going to do a heli hike because that sounds fun. We were in our 20s, we were adventurous. We are going to do this. And we'd budgeted for it. We were so excited. And all was going to plan, as I was very grateful for. We were sitting at the train station ready to leave on this Transalpine Railway. I was so excited. But it was running late. And then we hear this announcement. Dear passengers, I'm sorry to say that the railway from Christchurch to Grandmouth is flooded and we have no idea when it will be able to be opened again. In fact, all the roads from one side of New Zealand to the other are flooded and there is no way you can get across. Now, this is in the days before smartphones, before international roaming. So the two of us are sitting there going, well, what do we do now? Our hire car's in Greymouth. There's no way we're getting to this heli hike. And so we just had to deal with this and reschedule our plans and somehow, because of course you can't get all your money back within 24 hours of cancelling such events, try and make up our budget. And essentially it ended up with us staying in what I would graciously call a wooden box in a caravan park to try and make up our budget with accommodation. Needless to say, a disruption in what I thought were my perfect holiday plans. In our passage today, we're going to look at an encounter that Jesus has with a man with leprosy, or as it says in the plain English version, a serious skin condition. And we're going to look at it from the lens of disruption and what this might have looked like for Jesus and his followers. But to truly understand this passage, it's really important to look back at the context, as it always is whenever we look at the Bible. So we're actually going to read back a couple of verses before, starting from verse 32. This is what Gavin spoke about yesterday, so I'm not going to unpack it too much, but I want to look through it. That evening after sunset, many sick and demon-possessed people were brought to Jesus. The whole town gathered at the door to watch. So Jesus healed many people who were sick with various diseases, and he cast out many demons. But because the demons knew who he was, he did not allow them to speak. Before daybreak the next morning, Jesus got up and went out to an isolated place to pray. Later, Simon and the others went out to find him. When they found him, they said, "Everyone is looking for you." But Jesus replied, "We must go on to other towns as well, and I will preach to them too. That is why I came." So he traveled through the region of Galilee, preaching in the synagogues and casting out demons. I love the fast pace of Mark's gospel. In what is now broken down, we'll just go back a slide if that's okay, sorry. In what is now broken down into just 8 verses in our translation, Jesus has healed a whole bunch of people, gone away, discerned again God's will, come back, sent the people away and said, I'm going to preach to towns. That's why I've came, this declaration of purpose. And then he moves on and he heals a whole lot more people, all in the space of a couple of paragraphs. And then Mark does something really interesting. He actually slows down, which is uncharacteristic for the writer of this gospel. And he spends, and we'll flick onto the next slide now. Hopefully this will work. Here we go. So he spends a whole, even more than that. We've only got half the verse up there. Anyway, he spends a whole, I think it's 5 verses now, speaking about one encounter that Jesus has with one man. Well, why does he do that? He spent time going through heaps of people. He doesn't name any of those people. And yet he slows down and talks about this one man with this skin disease that Jesus heals. And of course, as I was preparing for this morning, I thought, well, why is that? Why did Jesus spend so much time on this one encounter? I mean, you look at it in the context, you actually can see this is a really disruptive encounter, both because it's uncomfortable in the moment, but also because it changes the trajectory of Jesus' mission. It's kind of a turning point in his ministry. And so we're going to unpack that together this morning. But I just want to read through this passage in its entirety first. A man with leprosy came and knelt in front of Jesus, begging to be healed. If you are willing, you can heal me and make me clean, he said. Moved with compassion, Jesus reached out and touched him. I am willing, he said, be healed. Instantly the leprosy disappeared and the man was healed. Then Jesus sent him on away with a stern warning. Don't tell anyone about this. Instead, go to the priest, let him examine you. Take along the offering required in the law of Moses for those who have been healed of leprosy. This will be a public testimony that you have been cleansed. But the man went and spread the word, proclaiming to everyone what had happened. As a result, large crowds soon surrounded Jesus and he couldn't publicly enter a town anywhere. He had to stay out in the secluded places, but people from everywhere kept coming to him. Jesus had been healing people of all sorts of sicknesses, driving out demons. And Mark gives us very little detail, and then he slows down in the narrative to highlight this one encounter. And a significant portion of that is because this encounter was incredibly disruptive. It says a man with leprosy, and I want to pause there for a minute to unpack the significance of this label. So this man had a chronic skin condition, and for Jesus' disciples following him, they would have known and automatically associated this with Leviticus 13, which gives us a whole lot of outlines around the law around uncleanliness when it comes to skin diseases. Now, if you're like me and you read your Bible a bit, you probably don't spend a whole lot of time in Leviticus because it's a pretty confronting book. But in preparing for this morning, I stopped and I read through Leviticus 13 and 14, and it struck me, actually, the generosity, the wisdom, and the public health that we see through Leviticus 13. And so I want to spend a bit of time looking through it, because sometimes we can read about these lepers and think, well, that was really ostracizing, that was really segregating, what a horrible thing that Jewish people did, sending these lepers out of the camp. But when you read Leviticus 13, you can actually see the heart of God for health and wholeness for people. So we're going to read through what I'm going to call a cook's tour of Leviticus 13. If anyone has a swelling or a rash or a discolored skin that might develop into a serious skin disease, that person must be brought to Aaron the priest or to one of his sons. The priest will examine the affected area of skin. If the hair in the affected area has turned white and the problem appears to be more than skin deep, it is a serious skin disease. The priest who examines it must pronounce the person ceremonially unclean. Now, for those of you that don't know, I'm a doctor by training. And so when I read this, I think about some of the early medical books that were written by some of the fathers of medicine. And this is incredibly advanced, essentially a medical textbook for these priests who are taking on the role of a doctor. Examine the skin. If it looks like this, do this. If it looks like this, do this. I mean, this is so far ahead of its time for these people. It goes on to say, if the affected area of the skin is only a white discoloration and does not appear more than skin deep, and if the hair on the spot has not turned white, the priest will quarantine the person for 7 days. On the seventh day, the priest will make another examination. If he finds the affected area has not changed and the problem has not spread on the skin, the priest will quarantine the person for 7 more days. On the seventh day, the priest will make another examination. If he finds the affected area has faded and has not spread, the priest will pronounce the person ceremonially clean. It was only a rash. The person's clothing must be washed and the person will be made ceremonially clean. I feel like having lived through COVID, we can understand this perhaps more than ever before. Like, just replace here examination with rat test. If a person has respiratory symptoms, they must quarantine for 17 days. On the seventh day, if they still have respiratory symptoms, they must quarantine for another 7 days. If on the 14th day their rat test is negative, they may re-enter the workforce. We hear, like, this is essentially a public health message, right? This is to protect the community. Anyone who develops a serious skin disease must go to the priest for an examination. If the priest finds a white swelling on the skin and some hair on the spot that has turned white, and there is an open sore in the affected area, it is a chronic skin disease, and the priest must pronounce the person ceremonially unclean. Those who suffer from a serious skin disease, this is the man with leprosy, they must tear their clothing and leave their hair uncombed. They must cover their mouth and call out, unclean, unclean. As long as the serious disease lasts, they will be ceremonially unclean. they must live in isolation in their place outside the camp. I feel like working in Alice Springs more than anywhere else that I have worked has shown me the havoc and the health trouble that can come from skin diseases. If any of you have had the sort of skin diseases that we get here, they're significant and they cause major health problems. And so for God to give his people in an era before showers and before antibiotics and before, you know, off-site dressings, a plan that was going to protect their people from the spread of these diseases is really significant, in fact, an act of grace. But when we consider the person in this story, he was the bottom person. So his command under this law for the benefit of his community was that he was to have uncombed hair, torn clothing, and stand outside the camp. And when someone approached, what was he supposed to yell out? Unclean, unclean. Does he do that? No. He comes and kneels in front of Jesus. It's like someone with COVID coming up into church, taking off their mask, coming out together and saying, I have something to say, mask free. Like that would be disturbing for us. Many of us would go, that's really uncomfortable. This is how Jesus' disciples would have felt when this man approached Jesus. Here is a man with open skin sores approaching my teacher, my rabbi. This is not comfortable. This is disruptive. This is a little bit scary. And he says this incredibly faith-filled statement, you can heal me and make me clean. It wasn't that this man's skin disease had gone away and he was expecting Jesus to take on the role of a priest to declare him clean. That'll come a little bit later. This man believed in Jesus' power to heal him. Now, Jesus was going about his earlier declared purpose of preaching in the nearby villages, for that is why I came. And then this unclean man approaches him out of nowhere, trigger disruption, and kneels at his feet. Jesus would have been well within his rights to remind this man of his responsibilities under Levitical law to his community, which of course is God's community, to protect them. But that is not what Jesus does. Moved with compassion, Jesus reached out and touched him. Now, if COVID has taught me anything, is the importance of physical contact with people. For those of you who have to spend time in isolation from loved ones might know how significant it is that Jesus touched this man. I am willing, he said, be healed. Instantly the leprosy disappeared and this man was healed. This man, his faith, his boldness, and or his situation touch Jesus. And even though it was a disruption and it would have been uncomfortable for those around him, Jesus touches this man who is unclean. He bridges the gap of connection and he says, I am willing. In this series, Gavin challenged us as a preaching team to consider the words, the works, and the ways of Jesus. And as we look at Jesus here, we see him stop and we see him discern in the moment. Earlier last week, Gav talked about him going out to a solitary place to discern and to recapture God's vision. And here in the moment, we hear this moved with compassion. And as I read that, I think moved by the Spirit. Something about this man, Jesus says, I need to step in. He didn't heal everyone with leprosy while he was on the earth. But for this man, the Holy Spirit convicted him and he went, okay, I'm going to step in, led by his Father. And so I wonder, when you consider the disruptions in your life, the uncomfortable things, the things where they potentially interrupt your plan, whether you seek or hear the movement of the Spirit. And when you're moved, may we, like Jesus, have the courage to step in and to say, I am willing. I know this is uncomfortable, maybe a little bit risky, but I am willing. And I believe that God can work even in this uncomfortable, disruptive encounter. We see disruptions all the time. You know, I'll be driving or walking through and I'll see something happening and I go, is this a moment to step in or not? And in Alice Springs particularly, that can be really hard to discern. This is where we need, like Jesus, to say, Spirit, are you moving me in this? And if you are, give me the courage to say I am willing and to step in even if it's a bit uncomfortable, even if it's a bit messy, even if it's a bit dirty. If this was where this passage ended, that would be a nice little aside that Jesus paused his ministry and said, well, I'm going to do this thing that's a bit uncomfortable that makes my disciples a bit uncomfortable. I'm going to heal this man. But actually, this passage goes on and we see even greater disruption. As I said before, when our everyday mission gets disrupted, may we seek discernment. And when we are moved, may we say, I am willing. Jesus goes on and he gives this man a warning. He says, Jesus sent him away with a stern warning. Don't tell anyone about this. Instead, go to the priest and let him examine you. Take along the offering required in the law of Moses for those who've been healed of leprosy. This will be a public testimony that you have been cleansed. As an aside, I love that Jesus gives this man the direction to go to the priest and to do what's required of the law. It shows again that Jesus didn't come to abolish the law and the prophets, but to fulfill them. In Leviticus 14, it talks very clearly about what's to be done when someone with a chronic skin disease is healed. And Jesus says, do those things. This law is still relevant for you. I haven't come to take that away. He also gives this man an active part to play in his cleansing journey. He didn't just come and receive and that was that. There was this step that this man had to take in his own healing journey. He gives this man a pathway to rejoin his community and his family, which, let's remember, are God's community and God's family. As well as this pathway forward, we see a stern warning that Jesus gives this man. He says, don't tell anyone. But again, is that what this man did? No. This man went and spread the word, proclaiming to everyone what happened. And as a result, large crowds soon surrounded Jesus and he couldn't publicly enter a town anywhere. Just a little bit before, Jesus said, I need to go to other towns to preach, for that's why I came. And now, because of this man and this encounter, he can't. Talk about disruption. When I first read this, I found myself asking, did Jesus know this was going to happen? Did he know that when he healed this man, it was going to derail his ministry trajectory? Did he know that this man was going to disregard his warning? Did this man do this because he was overflowing with gratitude or because he was disobedient? I don't know, but I know that Jesus knew this was a risk. That's why I gave him the warning. He said, don't tell anyone, because he knew that if this man told people, this is what would happen. And so he gave this man a warning, and this man then, as we all do, had choice whether to follow that warning or not. In this case, he did not. But Jesus knew the risk when he healed this man. He knew that there was a chance this would derail his ministry, and he did it anyway. Knowing that this might have been the outcome, he did it anyway. And you know what? God still used it. He went out to secluded places, and even there, people kept coming to him. Remember, secluded places are the places Jesus most often hears from his Father. Not surprising, Jesus is sent to those places in this moment of disruption. And even there, people come. Even there, his ministry continues. God works even through this disruptive moment. Earlier we said, when our everyday mission gets disrupted, maybe a bit messy, maybe a bit uncomfortable, may we, like Jesus, seek discernment. And where we're called to step in, may we say, like Jesus did, I am willing. Even if there's a risk that it might derail our plans. Sometimes disruptions will derail our ministry trajectory. And if we look at the example of Jesus here, we can learn that that is actually okay. That's okay. Ministry was never meant to be clean and perfect in a straight line. Let us be led by the Spirit and know that God can and will use even these disruptions, even these changes in course, for his glory.
Not to spoil this beautiful day or anything, huh?
We'll just pause that for a second. I'm just going to share a video with you now before I come up and share a couple of final thoughts. This is a video clip taken from a TV series called The Chosen. And if you haven't seen this, I'd encourage you to watch it. It's a really well done reenactment of the life of Jesus and his disciples. And this particular section covers the passage that we've talked about today. So we're going to watch it together and then I'll come up and just share some final thoughts. But have a look in here at the disruption and the discomfort that we see in this little video. Thanks, Reuben.
Not to spoil this beautiful day or anything, huh? Come on.
It's a leper. Stay back.
Cover your mouth. Don't breathe his air.
Don't come any closer.
It's okay, John. It's okay.
Rabbi,
you cannot.
It's disease. You can.
Please. Please don't turn away from me.
I won't.
Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Only if you want to, I submit to you. My sister, she was a servant at the wedding. She told me what you could do. I know you can heal me if you are willing.
I knew it. What can I ever do?
No. Do not say anything to anyone.
You don't seek your own honor?
Please just tell me this one thing.
But what do I tell people?
Go, show yourself to the priest. Let them inspect you and see that you are cleansed. Make the proper offering in the temple as Moses commanded. And go on your way.
Where's an extra tunic? Just one of you. That's enough. Green is definitely your color. Oh. Not too shabby.
It's a pretty powerful reenactment of this story. And you can see the discomfort of Jesus' disciples as this man approaches. And we know from the text that the disruption of this encounter doesn't end here. In fact, Jesus is no longer able to enter towns and preach publicly because of this encounter. And so it was we, as followers of Jesus, who seek to emulate his words and his works and his ways. May we seek his direction through the disruptions. When we're approached by a situation that's a little uncomfortable, maybe a little bit messy, may we in the moment say, God, are you moving me with compassion for this? And when he is, regardless of the risk, may we, as Jesus did, step in and say, I am willing, knowing that whatever disruption results, God will use for his glory, just as he did with his son. Let's pray. God, thank you that you work in those areas where we feel unclean, that you work in the discomfort and the messiness of life. Thank you for the example that you give in this encounter of courage to step in through discomfort and a willingness to continue to follow your Father even when plans get derailed. Give us the courage to do the same. Holy Spirit, we pray that we would hear your voice in our everyday mission. And when those disruptions come, give us discernment. Move us with compassion where we need to be moved. And give us the courage to say, I am willing, when you are calling us to step in. And through that, may your spirit move powerfully in our fields of everyday mission here in Alice Springs, around the country, around the world. God, have your way, we pray. Amen.